Hey, good morning. Happy Sabbath, everyone. I hope you're doing well. I hope that you're enjoying this time being, at home, listening, worshiping. But if you've been blessed today, you ought to give God the praise wherever you are at. You ought to type it in the chat box. Like, literally, it's been a blessing. First and foremost, listen. Of course, I want to thank my pastor. Just for being the man of God, the leader that you are blessed to have him and the family, particularly where you are to Jess. Listen, you are blessed to have them as your pastor, as we were blessed when he was here. But not only that, listen, Brian, I need to say this, and I really need to say this. Your praise team is insane. Like, you are blessed to have a praise team. Not many churches have a praise team just like y'all. It's like y'all are bomb. And listen, I need to bless God for the McCarter family. For Mark, for Raquel, for the kids, literally, they're a blessing from God. Literally, they're just being used, and we just want to praise God for that. You want to praise God for the McCarter family. Listen, but honestly, truly, we're about to jump into this word, and I'm gonna get out your way. So listen, wherever you're at, turn to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And begin at verse 1. John chapter 9, begin at verse 1. I'm going to give you a little time to look for it, because I really want us just to key in on this. We're talking about light and darkness. I think this message today, hopefully prayerfully, it will bless you and kind of bring some clarity on this. Yes, John chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. John 9, beginning at verse 1. This is what the Bible says. The Bible says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. Therefore, they said to him, how were your eyes open? He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. Verse 12, it says, then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. I just want to stop right there, and I want to speak this morning, people of God. I hope you are blessed, but I do want to speak on the subject, born for a revelation. I want us to know today that we all have been born for a revelation. So let's go to God during this time in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the word. We thank you so much for the service. God, you have blessed us. It's your breath in our lungs. We pour out a praise because of the breath that you put in our bodies this morning. So Father, right now, wherever we are at, we give you glory, we give you honor, we give you praise. Dear Lord, hide me behind the shadow of the cross. Let Daniel Charles may not be seen or heard, but let Jesus and Jesus alone, let him be lifted. We thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Born for a revelation. Born for a revelation. One of the things, people of God, since we've been transparent today, we might as well go all the way with this thing. One of the things that the Spirit had me to work on during this quarantine was to understand and to get to know Jesus better. I'm going to be very serious when I say this, because this is important for us to understand. Like, the way how the Spirit got me to kind of study Jesus was through the Gospels. And to be quite frank, The reason why I was led to do this, people of God, was because the quarantine, if I can be honest with you, caused me to face things that I didn't have to or want to when this year first got started. Like, honestly, you all can testify. I know some of us have families and we have houses stocked with people in it. But you can be honest with yourself, when you are in your room or you're in some sort of privacy, or, you're not doing anything or whatever the case is, like, you begin to ponder things, and the devil will get you to go places or to do things that you necessarily wouldn't do if you were in the will of God or you weren't on this quarantine. Devil is trying, I believe the devil has been using this quarantine as well to try to tempt people to revert back to what they're doing. And I being in this house, thinking about where God has had me, and everything like that, it just got my mind to be thinking, like, this quarantine has showed me how sinful I can really be, how angry I can be, how it has just showed me the flesh, and it showed me my faults, and it showed me things that I need to get right. And it's crazy. Here's the thing. I'm not saying that this quarantine hasn't been bad. I'm not saying that we haven't had a blessed time during this quarantine. But if I can be honest with you, people of God, literally during this quarantine, what the Spirit got me to do was I had to reintroduce myself to Jesus. And literally, I was looking at a Jesus during this quarantine that I've never witnessed before in my life. And people of God, my only prayer for this word today, my only prayer for this sermon, for each and every individual that is listening to me right now, my only prayer for us today is that we see Jesus. My prayer for us today is that we draw closer to him than we ever have before. So, literally, Bible is clear. This is John chapter 9 we're dealing with. And I need you to understand something about John before we even go deep into this message. Bible says that John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, is said to be writing this gospel. And the reason why he writes this gospel is because he's trying to introduce his audience to Jesus. There are other purposes that are involved in this gospel, but the primary reason he writes this is because he wants his readers to get to know this Jesus character. Like, there are many heresies and false teachings that are going around, but we'll get to that a little bit later. Not only is he trying to get them to know Jesus, but John is trying to get them to understand that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Now, watch me now. He is not a Son of God, but he is the Son of God. So then John begins his gospel with the introduction, and you know the introduction. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So John sort of starts this as Moses began Genesis, saying, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." So John is establishing this imagery of the Word. And you just stay with me here. John is establishing this imagery of the Word, and he says that the Word was with God and was God and was from the beginning. And later, John identifies this Word as becoming flesh, which we now see Jesus. So now John goes throughout his entire gospel showing Jesus, explaining himself. Now, I need you to get this. Now, while John's purpose for writing this gospel was for his audience to know Jesus, one of Jesus's purposes for coming to earth was to get his audience to know God. And the reason being is because Satan had now caused God's character to be seen as something feared rather than loved. So you gave your tithes and offering to the temple because you believed God was going to cause something terrible to happen to you, rather than looking at it as God blessing me, therefore I bless him. Okay, you're not hearing me. You did everything according to the law that was given to do on the Sabbath because you believed that God was going to cause something terrible to happen to you, rather than being free to worship him in the way he leads you. You looked at people from different ethnicities and called them Gentiles and uncircumcised, rather than loving them as yourself and helping them where help is needed. Jesus came to destroy that image. I need you to hear me now. Jesus came to destroy the image that they had made of God.
So he tells Nicodemus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He told the Samaritan woman in chapter 4 that God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. Jesus heals the man at the pool of Bethesda on the Sabbath day, because it is good to do good on the Sabbath. He tells the 5,000, I am the bread of life. He tells the woman caught in adultery, nobody has condemned you. Go and sin no more. He tells the Pharisees, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus has come to destroy that image and to show them what God is truly like. He says, I've come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly. So now John takes us to this story of Jesus coming to this blind man. The Bible says in verse 1, I hope you have the Bibles open. The Bible says in verse 1, as he passed by, Jesus saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? See, understand, people of God, that there are one of two false teachings taught in this passage of scripture. The first heresy that is taught in this passage of scripture is that the Pharisees believed that sin had caused all outward displays of disease, sickness, and issues. But the main idea, people of God, behind this teaching was that God was the orchestrator of punishment. If I sinned while I was in the womb and came out deformed, or my parents sinned and I came out with some issue, it was because of the punishment of God because of my sins. And if I can be honest with you here, like, I don't know how they got this concept. Like, I don't know how you can sin while being in the womb when you have no cognitive understanding or realization of what you are doing, but that's what they believe. This, I need you to understand that this concept was a satanic blow to the understanding of God. In other words, what Mrs. White says, that Satan had got people to think that the reason why they were punished, the reason why they had some sort of sickness, the reason why they had some sort of disease is because of God. And literally Satan got people to believe that, and people, wherever they went, man, they thought of themselves low. If I have leprosy, man, I'm cursed of God. If I have blindness, I'm cursed of God. And literally Satan had got the Jewish people to believe that your sickness is a result of your sin. Here it is. I need you to understand this, that while sin, yes, generally causes death and it causes sickness, it necessarily doesn't say that it's because of your sin that you have an issue. Okay, so let's go a little bit deeper. So the Bible says that the disciples say, man, who sinned? This man or his parents? Verse 3, Jesus answered, he said, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. So I need you to understand this. Understand that Jesus and the disciples are having the conversation in front of the blind man. So literally, the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus said, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. They're having this whole conversation in front of this blind man. And listen, I can imagine what the blind man must have been thinking, because I would have been thinking the same thing. So Jesus, what are you talking about? You mean, okay, so I didn't sin, my parents didn't sin. So you mean to tell me, so God allowed me to be born this way? I haven't even seen my mother's face when I came out the womb, and God allowed this to happen? I couldn't go to school because I couldn't see the books that had to be written. I couldn't make any friends because they looked at me different. I couldn't go to church because they deemed me as a sinner. I can't even have a normal conversation with someone without mentioning my blindness. If I didn't sin, if my parents didn't sin, why did you curse me with blindness? But understand this concept of God, beloved, that while the devil meant it for evil, that God meant it for good. The devil caused all your pain to happen, but what God is saying is, I'm going to use your pain for a purpose. In other words, your sins didn't cause you to be born like this, but know that you were born for a revelation. I'm going to do something for you that will reveal to you who I am. And do I have any witnesses that can testify that I didn't like some of the deficiencies that I was born with? Maybe you didn't like some of the things that you were, tendencies that you were born with. Maybe you didn't like the environment that you were born with, but I need someone to know that you weren't just born for that. You were born for a revelation. You were born for God to reveal himself to you. You were born for such a time as this. And understand, people of God, that Jesus is going through this message, and Jesus is literally trying to share something with the disciples. And so Jesus says in verse 4, He says, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay, so Jesus, what are you talking about? And that brings us to our first point, beloved, that Jesus, here it is, Jesus is God's radiance. Well, understand that Jesus is referring to God many times in John as his Father, and not only that, but as he who sent me. Now, this now refers to Jesus being sent, meaning that he is on a mission. Therefore, if he is on a mission, that means that he is working. Now, the reason why he uses the analogy of night and day is because he is preparing to repeat what he said in John 8, verse 12, when he says, I am the light of the world. In other words, he's saying that since I am here, it's daytime. But when I leave, it's nighttime. But he's saying to his disciples, man, don't you fret, because I told you that I'm sending the Spirit who will lead you into all truth, which then I will declare that not only am I the light of the world, but then I will declare that you are the light of the world, and that a city cannot be hidden without its light being shown, and that you are to let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God, which is in heaven. So Jesus is God's radiance. Jesus is light. Understand this, that not only is Jesus light, but he calls all those who believe in him to be light. Okay. So let me further it now. So Jesus reveals that he's God's radiance, which testifies to this point, that when God said, let there be light in Genesis, that it was Jesus who just showed up because he's God's radiance. I think I need somebody to testify right now, that when God said, let there be light, the Son of God, who is Jesus, showed up and created the Son, because whom the Son sets free, somebody ought to declare is free indeed. And when Jesus shows up in my life today, listen, when I got darkness all around me, when I don't know the end from the beginning, when I watch CNN and see there's no hope, when I turn on the news and I see that there's no hope, when I look at the deaths and I look at the coronavirus and I can't say with my mind, I say, I don't know what's going on. I think I'm going crazy. But when Jesus shows up, I want to testify to someone today that when he shows up, light comes in. So here it is. Bible says, Jesus, having said this in verse 6, having said these things, he spit on the ground. Did you get this? Did you hear this? Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sit. So he went and came back seeing. So I need to take you on this sidebar right quick, and I promise you I'm going to bring you back to the message, people of God. Listen, I'm almost done. But here's my confusion in the text. And maybe somebody can help me understand this. Help me understand this wherever you are at. Like, I understand this is kind of nasty and disgusting. Like, literally, Jesus spits on the ground, makes mud with the ground, and literally put it on the man's eyes. But that's not the part that gets me. The part that gets me is that word anointed. Anointed. And in the original language, in the Greek language, it literally means smeared on. But literally, the text translates it to anointed. Anointed. I just can't get that. Anointed. Like, I have a problem with this, people of God, because I thought anointing looks like olive oil and a hand over my head. I never thought that anointing could look like mud and spit being put on my eyes. I don't see saliva and dirt being smeared on my eyes as being anointed. Lord, this isn't an anointing. This is literally just you putting on mud and you spit on someone's eyes. I don't see this as anointed. But this is going to bless someone today, just like he blessed me, because I need you to understand that anointing has nothing to do with any kind of form or fashion. But one thing that anointing does is that it predicates closeness. Okay. It predicates God's desire to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Like, I need you to understand that even though King David's anointing, when Samuel came to him and got the oil in the horn and poured it on his head, even though David's anointing looked different than this blind man's anointing, I need you to know that they were anointed by the same God. And I'm convinced and convicted that your anointing is connected to your deliverance. Or somebody needs to get this word right now. Your anointing is connected to your deliverance. Because he anointed some of us with the gift of responsibility, he is also protecting you from those demons on your job. Because he anointed you with the gift of care, he is also healing you of your drug addiction. Because he anointed you with the gift of listening, he is also going to take care of your cussing problem. Because he anointed the remnant with the testimony of Jesus, he's going to take care of the dragon and the beast in the last days who wants to harm them. Because your anointing is connected to your deliverance. So here it is. So the second first thing that we came to understand is that Jesus is God's radiance. But the second thing that the text reveals us is that now Jesus is God's guidance. Okay, Jesus is God's guidance. I told you before that Jesus is revealing to people who the Father is. So Jesus tells the blind man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, Jesus, why in the world are you sending the man to go and wash? He is blind. I don't think you get that. Like, the thing is, Jesus, you didn't heal him at that point. He's still blind, and he has mud on his eyes. In other words, the man has to use a person or a stick in order to feel his way to Siloam. He's going to be made fun of by people when he's walking all the way to Siloam. And my question to the Lord is, Lord, why didn't you heal him there like you did everybody else? Like, why does he have to go and wash for his healing? Well, I need you to understand, beloved, that Jesus is revealing something about God in sending the man to wash. Your Bible says this. Siloam in the Hebrew is translated sent. In other words, Jesus is saying that me sending you is what the Father did to me. He sent me with instructions on how to save you. And these are the instructions. I have to be lifted up. In other words, the instructions are that I have to die. But just like you, and he's talking to the blind man, just like you, if you follow my instructions and wash in the pool of Siloam, you will be able to see. If I follow God's instructions, then all men and women will be able to see. And I know it's going to be a hard road for me. I know they're going to spit on me. I know they're going to talk about me. And I know they're going to hit me. I know they're going to try to kill me. But I'm going in order for them to see. And is there anybody in this place today? Listen, this is my first one. Is there anybody in this place today that can give God the glory that Jesus was sent from heaven? And he was sent for me and you. And the reason why he was sent, because we were born in sin and we were shaped in iniquity. But he came down, took on human flesh, overcame in the flesh, and died so that we could have life. Is there anybody that can give God the glory right now that Jesus is God's guidance, because he guides me today in the way that I ought to go? And here it is. Jesus came down just so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. So then the man goes to wash in the pool of Siloam, despite the criticism, despite what their insults do, despite all that's going on. The Bible says, and he washed. And when the water comes down from his eyes, people of God, it's cloudy at first, but he can see color. He turns and is looking, and he sees people for the first time. He looks up and he sees the sun and sky. And for the first time in the man's life, he can see. And as he leaves, the Bible says this. Oh, I need you to hear me. The Bible says this as he leaves. Therefore, the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Now, as I begin to close, I need you to understand this. The Bible says in verse 1 that when Jesus was passing by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. But after he's healed, the Bible says in verse 8 that the neighbors and those who had previously seen him say, is this not he who sat and begged? Okay, somebody didn't get this. So when Jesus first sees the man, the Bible says that he saw a man blind from birth. But the Bible says that when this man is healed and when this man is cured, that the neighbors and people who have previously seen him, people who have usually seen him, say, is this not he, or is this not the man who sat in bed? In other words, you would not have known that the man was sitting and begging in this whole story until you read this verse. In other words, his neighbors and passersby saw his circumstance, but Jesus saw his condition. Oh, I need you to hear me now. In other words, I need you to know this about God, because many of us have this wrong picture of God in our minds. I need you to understand that God sees us differently than how humanity sees us. He doesn't see a prostitute. He sees a sinner. He doesn't see a masturbator. He sees a sinner. He doesn't see a liar. He sees a sinner. He doesn't see a murderer. He sees a sinner. He doesn't see a cheater. He sees a sinner. He doesn't see a homosexual. He sees a sinner. He doesn't see a robber. He sees a sinner. Because the Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but my Bible says that God looks at my heart. And your circumstance, I need you to get this, your circumstance is a result of your condition. He sees you differently than how everybody else sees you. Everybody else sees your circumstance. Everybody else calls you out for your circumstance. But yet Jesus sees your condition. He knows you need him. And the Bible says in verse 9, some said, it is he. Others said, no, but he is like him. He kept saying, I am the man. And here it is, people of God, as I close this message. Verse 10 says this. So they said to him, then how were your eyes open? He answered, a man called Jesus. Okay, nobody got it yet. I need you to understand the plight of this man. The Bible says that literally people are going to him and say, man, he's not the man. Others say that he is like him. He says, I am the man. And literally they say, how in the world are your eyes been healed? And he says, a man called Jesus. And I'm wondering if I have any witnesses in the building that could testify that I've been healed by a man named Jesus. I've been cured by a man named Jesus. Has anyone in this Zoom call been healed by a man named Jesus? Has anyone been cured by a man named Jesus? Literally, my situation got worse. I don't know where I came from. I don't know the circumstance, but is there anybody that can give God the praise and say, I've been cured by a man named Jesus? Listen. I'm getting excited all by myself, but listen, I need to tell you that this man is cured by a man named Jesus. Now, here's the significance. As I begin to close, I tell you this. Here's the significance of what he says. He says, a man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to Siloam and wash. So I went and received my sight. Now, I need you to understand the significance of the man saying, I've been healed by a man called Jesus. I need you to go with me right here. Understand that when John is writing this gospel, there was a false teaching being spread around at that time under Gnosticism called Docetism. Now, you may be wondering, what in the world is Gnosticism? What is Docetism? Well, Docetism, if I could explain, we'll explain Gnosticism. This is the second of the two false teachings in our passage today. And our last point is that Jesus is God's substance. In other words, the teaching of Docetism, it denoted that Jesus couldn't have been fully God and fully human. They could not wrap their minds, those Docetists could not wrap their minds around the fact that Jesus is divinity and humanity. So they said that Jesus, who was God, is divine, but he did not take on human flesh, which is evil. And it means, and I need you to understand what this means. Those Docetists really said that Jesus could be God, he could be divine, but he could not have been man, which is already evil. They believed that the flesh was too evil for divinity to come into. In other words, this means that if they are true, or if they're, what they're saying is true, that means that we could have no intercessor in Jesus, because Jesus could not understand if he was not in flesh. It also made room for the individual to do whatever they wanted, because in other words, if your flesh is evil, is already evil, you might as well bathe in it. You might as well do ever what you want in it. So they taught these things, which was a false teaching. So when John records the man claiming that Jesus was man, what he's saying is that divinity and humanity is in Jesus. In other words, what he's saying is that Jesus is fully God and fully human. He's 100% God and 100% human. He ain't used none of his divinity while on earth, but he overcame in the flesh. That's why Timothy says, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. That's why John said in his letter, get this, people of God, he said this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus was man and God. And the reason why he was man and God is because he had to understand what we went through. And that just goes to show you that he understands your situation. He understands the pain that you're going through. He understands everything, every situation. And I just want to encourage someone today that God literally understands what you're going through. Oh my goodness. In other words, because he was substance, because you could touch him, because he was a man and you could hug him, because he was human and you could see him, he can relate to everything that we've gone through because he went through it. He ate food at the wedding feast. He felt a woman touch his garments. He laughed and played with the children. He cried at Lazarus's funeral. He was mad and overthrew tables, and he felt the weight of the cross on Calvary. And here it is, beloved. Need us to understand that Jesus just manifested to himself to a man with a sickness, to a man that was deemed as a sinner, to a man understood to be punished by God. The blind man, here it is, had a deeper experience than the Pharisees, because despite their teachings, this man was born for revelation. Doesn't know it yet, and I pray that you read the rest of the story. But I need you to understand that this man, even though people said that he was born in sickness and he was born in sin, that's the reason why he was blind. But Jesus had other preparations for this man. But even though society called him that, understand that he was born for a revelation. And I'm speaking to a person that may be listening to me right now who may be struggling with your identity. We're about to lose our minds thinking that what you're going through is because you're being punished. But I need you to know right now that just know that you were born for a revelation. That whatever circumstance or situation that you were born into, just know that God is going to reveal himself. And when he does, understand that even though you were born for a revelation, your healing and deliverance is on the way. People of God, as I close, I just want to pray this prayer. Somebody right now literally is maybe going through, maybe having situations and having things that are just, you know, not going right in your life. And I understand we're in this season of coronavirus, in this season of racial injustice. But right now, God wants to reveal himself. And I'm so glad that he's revealed himself today. So here it is. Wherever you're at right now, I just ask that you would just pray with me as we go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much. We love you. We praise you. We bless you. God, we are to be praised. You are to be praised because of the things that you have done. Father, you took this man's story, dear Lord, and made it public through your servant John in order to understand you better. Father, we thank you for being radiance. We thank you for being God's guidance. And we thank you for being substance, God, because you are the light of the world. You did guide this man. You came down from heaven, oh God, to earth to save us from ourselves. And Father, you were man. You were substance, meaning that you could understand everything that we've went through. So Father, we love you. God, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you, God, and for the believer that may be resting right now, we're just asking, oh God, that you will bring peace to their soul. We're asking, oh God, that you will remind us that we were born for revelations, meaning that whatever you are to us, I pray that you reveal it right now. Somebody needs to get a revelation. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.